You are listening to the Park Flyer Podcast, where we discuss our RC adventures.
Welcome to the Park Flyer Podcast, where we discuss the ups and downs of the new RC Flyer. Join your hosts, Michael and Jay, as they take flight at the park. Now on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Park Flyer Podcast. I'm Michael from Arizona, and with me always, my good friend,
Shannon G in Mesa AZ.
And we would like to welcome to the show,
Scott Berryman. I'm Scott Berryman, a.k.a. Call sign Stickerus. Icarus flew too high, Stickerus flew too low.
That's correct.
And I'm just getting back into the hobby.
Oh, perfect. We are at Warbirds and Classics here in wonderful Phoenix, Arizona. And Shannon and I are able to come out, and Scott flew out from Boulder, Colorado, and to join us here. And this is day three. First day, Thursday, we kind of came in, and things were okay. We all got set up and kind of found each other and grabbed a table and kind of got a couple flights in. Yesterday, however, not so good.
Yesterday was a little rough.
Yeah, it was rough.
Cold and wet and rainy and...
Not as rough as 5 feet of snow where
no,
I live.
That's
right.
True. Yeah,
it's right.
It does have a lot of snow. So for those of you that have been listening for a while, we've mentioned Scott on the podcast before. As many of you knew, he bought a Stutka, which I think is behind us here on the flight line, and dropped it at the house for this event. And he also wound up buying another aircraft that we can talk about later. But he came to Winter Warbirds with us, and that was your first time at Winter Warbirds, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, he liked it.
I got hooked.
He was hooked. I think, he's been buying airplanes faster than I can put them together, I think. So, but anyway, Scott's been flying pretty much every day since you've been home from Winter Warbirds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So he was excited. We were excited to have him out. And many of you know Harry Middleton. He came out from California as well and brought a couple of his airplanes. So
going home with one less.
Yeah, going home with one less. His unfortunately, his P-51 did not do so well. He had a dead stick, and it kind of landed out in the desert. So, however, this has been day three has been a beautiful day. As a matter of fact, you can probably see it from behind us. A few clouds have rolled in, but, you know, it's, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We finally decided to kind of sit down and talk a little bit about the event. But it's been a beautiful sunny day, and it's kind of warm, and, you know, we're all kind of got out of our hoodies. And,
yep.
But it's been a great event. 100 pilots so far, I think, is what he said was
registered. I don't see 100 pilots here, but I guess they are.
Well,
they kind of come and go. I don't know.
Maybe.
It doesn't
seem like 100 pilots, but he claims that there's 100. Well, I mean, you know, he's
registered
100 pilots.
Registered 100 pilots, raising money for a great cause.
Right, that's true.
Pediatric cancer.
Yeah.
If you want to donate, Michael will give you the website.
There you go. We can do that. But anyway, it's been a great event so far. Amazing, amazing airplanes.
Oh my gosh. It's like AEF on steroids.
Yes, it really is.
For those regular listeners, and that's, you know, our kind of our signature event, but
yeah.
It's nice to come out and do something that's even a little bit bigger in scale and grandeur.
Absolutely,
sure.
Yeah. It's crazy. So some of the really nice airplanes that you've seen so far. Scott, what are you really impressed with out here?
What's the German one that has the propeller in the front and in the back of the fuselage?
Yeah, that's
Dornier 335.
Dornier 335.
Yes, that is.
And that aircraft, it's a gas engine stroke in the front.
Yep.
Electric through a shaft, an outrunner.
Yep.
Through a shaft, stroking that propeller in
it's
the back.
It's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
It is a
there
hybrid.
You go.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get a tax credit for that?
They might, yeah. I think that was the whole plan. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yep.
Well, and it flies truly amazing. It
they're beautiful.
It literally looks like a lawn dart in the air. I mean, it's got stubby little wings and this really long nose, but it just flies amazing. Sounds great, too. Sounds fabulous.
I don't think anything sounds as great as, for piston planes, that jug.
Oh, that
P-47.
The seven-cylinder.
With the Moki.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And electric start.
Yeah, that's amazing, too. He just hits a
button. Mine have electric start, too.
That's true. Yeah. Yours do. He just plugs it in and it starts.
Yeah.
Plugs it in.
Sometimes when it shouldn't.
Oh, I know, right? That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's an amazing airplane. We've seen it fly several times, and the pilot's amazing. What about you?
You know, it's a toss-up. There's so many great planes here. I'd say the A-10, the twin-turbine
yes.
A-10 is a showstopper.
Yes.
The F-104 that was just flying a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
The big Waco that's over here on our right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 40%?
It looks about it.
It's got full smoke. It sounds
yeah.
real. It looks real. It's just amazing to see all the planes. There's so many just beautiful planes out here. I mean,
Barry's F-18.
Well, of course,
Barry's
F-18 is always beautiful.
A showstopper.
I mean, showstopper. Yeah. Sea Fury.
Sea Fury looked good too.
It's hard to just put my finger on one plane because there's just so many beautiful airplanes.
Yeah.
The ME-163 Comet.
That looked amazing until about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, but so if you don't know, it's kind of a rocket plane that the Germans had in World War II, and one of our local club members, Gary Rowe, he loves the plane. He's got a couple different versions of it, and he was flying it, and just came in, and it went in, and hit the fence, and it's not here anymore. At least it's not in one piece.
It bent some metal.
Yeah.
Or fiberglass or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
It was really amazing. And he lucked out. So for those of you who don't know, Ali from Horizon Hobbies, he came out again. It was funny. He saw me, and he's like, hey, long time no see. And I started laughing because, he's seen me like three times just in the last month.
Yeah.
He's been at several events. But he came out to the event, and he has been incredibly well-received and has done an amazing job. He has basically given himself to this event. He has flown so many different people's aircraft. It's a big deal to have Ali fly your airplane.
Because he knows what he's doing.
Because he does know what he's doing. And matter of fact, Scott and I put this Stuka together, and we were getting ready to go fly it, and Scott's like, hey, man, let's go get Ali. And so he ran down there, and Ali's like, yeah, heck yeah, I'll fly it. So he came down, and first flight, and Ali just took off and was just amazing. Watch him fly, and he tweaked it and trimmed it and got it all done and said, okay, boys, here you go. And he gave us, two or three suggestions, and we flew it today, and it flew fabulous. So it's amazing to watch. He's been flying Brian O'Meara's airplanes. Anyway, the reason I brought him up is because he made in that ME this morning.
Yep.
And we were all standing here. It was bright and early, and the guy put it together, said, hey, Ali, will you take a minute before you get too busy? And he's like, yeah, sure. And so it's on a little trolley, right? And he took off, and, man, it was cool because, he lifted it off the ground, pitched out, climbed up, and got moving downwind, and the engine quit.
Yep.
And I told Shannon, I was like, oh, that thing has smoke in it. And then I go, no, that's the engine quit.
Yeah.
Puffing smoke.
Puffing smoke. So, anyway, he landed it. He said dead stick. He turned it around because it was going the wrong way, spun it around. Landed right on the center line, and
it
went
beautiful.
About 10 feet and stopped, and not a scratch.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So it was amazing.
It's so nice to have somebody that can
do
that,
yeah.
Especially when you're letting someone else fly your airplane.
Right.
You can trust them to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, the skill set's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
He was flying the A-10 yesterday.
Yep. Oh, my gosh.
And one of the mains, the right main.
Didn't come down?
Did not come down.
He worked his magic, and it came down eventually.
He worked through the problem.
Yep.
Negative Gs.
Yep.
Pushing.
Absolutely. It was amazing. Well, he did do a good job. And so the guy tweaked some of the settings on the turbine and then basically went back out, and he flew it for 8 minutes or so and just put it through its paces. It looked amazing. He flew fast, slow, did everything, came in, touched down again. And then Gary, right? This is Gary went out and I think just a few minutes ago was flying it and something happened. So
I think he had a lockout.
Something happened. It did not do well. So. Yeah. And we hate to see that. We hate to talk.
Yeah,
about
we do not like to see crashes.
I don't want to see anything going.
We've seen a couple crashes. But,
But I still think probably for me the T-38. The T-38 is scratch built. It is a labor of love.
Yep.
We saw that thing fly. Right out of the shop.
That's one of my other ones I just skipped my mind.
Yeah.
He started it in 2011.
Oh, he started a while ago, and it had an EDF in it. So he was putting it together. It's made out of foam that's been glassed, and it's all from plans from Northrop, right?
It's actually flying right now.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
It's probably flying. Oh, yeah, here it comes. Yep. Hopefully you'll see it in the background as it flies by. But it's all from plans, and he's got a custom cockpit, custom wheel. I mean, it's just amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's amazing.
But he actually took, correct me if I'm wrong, he actually took the actual full-scale T-38 plans.
That is correct.
And shrank them down.
Yeah, he scaled them. Yep. Yeah. So he got them directly from Northrop Grumman. So
that's amazing.
It was truly amazing. Yes. It was crazy. But we've seen him fly that thing. I felt really bad yesterday because the rains did come down. It was okay for most of the day, but about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it really started coming down. And most of us were able to put our airplanes kind of away and in the trailers. And that thing was so big, nobody had room for it. I mean, we went everywhere, the tents, the RVs, and Steve's like, man, I don't want to disassemble the whole thing.
Yeah, because it comes apart in half.
Yeah, three or four pieces. Yeah, it's huge. So we got somebody testing a Panther back behind us there. But
that Panther's fast.
Yeah, it is fast. I've seen it fly. I think they had a turbine shut down with a air bubble or something. So he's trying to work that out. But yeah, I felt bad, and so you can probably see behind us on the fence over here that there's a bunch of blankets. I think he changed them out every 30 minutes and wring them out, let them dry, and then switch them out again. So I felt bad because his was the only one on the ramp.
Yeah, but it's still okay.
Oh yeah, he flew it. He spun it a couple times. Still flying it today. Yeah. So.
And his little Bell X1 that he made, built. It's an EDF. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that thing is cool.
And him and his son are both wearing Bell X1 shirts.
Yeah.
And his son tows it around with a Jeep, RC Jeep.
Yeah,
so it's very cool.
Yeah, this morning when they went out, they basically taxied it out with the truck all the way out to the runway, lined it up, disconnected because it's got a little lever to drop the tow. Yeah. He comes back in the Jeep, and then the guy fires up and goes.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And it's pretty cool because he's got like a LED ring in there that lights up. Yep. It glows. It looks like it's pretty amazing. So, but it's a truly amazing airplane as well. So I think he's a very, very good builder.
Yes,
very
good
builder. So,
learned from his dad. His dad's an amazing builder. And
that's true.
Especially with fiberglass. He's a genius.
Yep. Fiberglass. Yep. So. Yeah, I guess we need a sign there. He waved. He's like, oh, he didn't know.
Yeah.
We'll put a sign up in there that says no trespassing.
Yep, yep.
So anyway, this morning, Scott got to fly the Stuka. So why don't you walk us through what'd you think?
Awesome airframe. Great story about how I got it. I guess it's not a great story. It's a sad story. The guy that originally built it had a stroke, and he's in the hospital right now. I think his name is Bill. So shout out to Bill. His best friend actually was helping him sell some RC stuff to pay some bills. So I'm grateful for that. And in terms of flying it, it flew great. Need a little help from Michael. It presents really well in the air.
It did present really well. And it flew great. I think Ali did a good job, trimming it out. We took a little bit of nose weight out of it. About 3.5 ounces to try to get it to kind of sit a little bit more rearward. They had a lot of weight up in the nose.
A lot of weight up front.
We have an issue with the IBC as well. So.
Yeah, and I don't know what that is. It's an intermittent issue. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the IBC fails closed, so you don't lose ignition. But we did not have the ability to use the IBC to shut the engine down.
Right. Hmm.
So
they had to use a trim. Old school.
Yep.
Old school.
Trim all the way up.
Old school, like the old school.
It finally quits.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So, what other airplanes? Oh, we did the gaggle. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, we had E-Flight gaggle. We went up. You went up with your
T-28.
And our T-28s, we for the
Oh, we did that. That's true. We did.
I had gotten the T-28 at the EF as one of the raffle prizes.
That's
and
right.
Finally got it. Up and running. I was trying to get it flying yesterday, and my retracts would not work to save my life. Everything else worked fine. Finally worked through, but the weather was getting pretty crappy.
It was getting crappy.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to let it sit till tomorrow. So.
And I got to give props to Shannon because I was pushing him really hard. Like, hey, man, the rain stopped. Let's go fly it. And he's like, no.
because we saw one plane go in because of the rain.
We did.
Like, I don't want to do that.
That was sad
better
too.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. And those planes present so well, and they just have such an incredible envelope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, from No Faster Than a Man Can Walk to
to Faster Than I Can Walk.
Yeah.
but no, it flies great, and it was fun. We could get out there and do the little formation flying.
We did.
We're not ready to audition for the Thunderbirds yet.
Not quite
time.
Yet.
We had fun, though.
It was fun. Yeah. And Shannon's still trying to think of a scheme. You can probably see it right behind us here. It's in yellow there. It doesn't have any markings on it, but he's still trying to figure out.
I'm on the fence. I might just make it the same as
Yeah,
as
I think you can see mine. Maybe see mine over here. It's got the green stripes on it, but it'd be kind of cool for some different number on the nose.
Yeah,
maybe,
probably maybe different number, maybe different letters on the tail,
different
kind of
numbers.
Thing. So
it'd be kind of cool.
That brings something up. A lot of these planes have significance historically. Mm-hmm. What is the significance of the green stripes? You just picked that out, or
no? That was one of the actual squadron's mm-hmm. colors. So
yeah.
we go through the pictures of all the different paint schemes and Cali Graphics, who provides a lot of the graphics for us. She has pictures that she shares of people that have done already. So we kind of go off of that, but you know we'll try to find something as real as possible.
Well, and I don't have any any family or anything that was in a training squadron or a naval, but it was one of the original training squadrons when the T-38s came out. And they painted them for the training squadron. They painted the green stripes. So yeah. I think if I'm not mistaken, it was a Navy or Marine. Both I think had a stripe. Anyway, the Navy used it, and it wasn't very long. They painted them gray right afterwards, I think.
Yeah.
So
the yellow didn't
last
long.
Yeah,
so.
It didn't last. So, but that's a good point in the fact that there's a lot of airplanes out here that do have significance. There's a guy that has that OV-10 that he. His name escapes me. This guy built an OV-10 that he flew in Vietnam.
Wow.
And it's everything on it is exactly the same as what he flew in Vietnam. All the insignia, the sticker, the paint, everything, it's exactly the same. So you're right. A lot of guys, labor of love, they put together an airplane and that, something may have it. I will tell you that John Gearhart does an incredible amount of research when he starts a new scratch-built airplane. His what is it? F8 Corsair.
No, A7.
A7 Corsair, right? A7, right. His A7, he did a whole bunch of research, and he actually knew a guy that flew it, and he got pictures and the whole deal, and scratch built that one. And then I did some the Felix the Cat graphics.
Uh-huh.
I did some of those for his paint on the other airplane that he was doing, and the Demon, I think, is an F9 Demon. And that one was having some issues because it was all carbon fiber and the electronics were not working quite the way we wanted.
And a lot of the guys that if they compete in scale, they mm-hmm. have to model it as closely as possible to a real aircraft. So they will do that to best match it.
Ryan O'Mara's P-40, it has the Flying Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And the P-40s were used in Burma going over to China, flighting over the hump.
Yep.
And that was Chenault. And the A-10 was allowed to have
the same
Flying Tiger marking
on
it. And the gentleman that flew the P-40 is the same gentleman that sentenced Charles Manson.
Oh,
no kidding.
So, yeah, crazy history.
Yeah, that is history.
There we go.
Crazy history.
Wow, who would have known? I did not know.
Me neither. Wow.
But, that's one of the big things about being out here. Mm-hmm. It's community. It's family. Everybody is looking to share, help. You need something.
Yep.
It just strikes me as, I feel like I'm home.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just met you, Winter Warbirds. and
now he's already on the podcast.
Now
yeah, exactly. Yeah. and feel like I know you. But
that's funny.
There's nothing better than this.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you that I've known Scott for an incredibly long time. We do work together, and Scott has the unique ability to just make everyone his friend. I was laughing at him because Vic is here, and Vic scratch builds a lot of airplanes, and I just bought that Bearcat, which we have a couple here, and so I was asking about it. And I was talking, and I said, yeah, Vic's down there. And next thing I know, Scott's like, hey, Mike, come meet Vic. And it's like they're long-lost friends, And I'm like, dude, I met this guy like five times, and already Scott has his number. You know, so they're exchanging emails. So yeah. Scott's a wonderful guy to be around. I've like I said, known him for a long time. He's a really good friend. So, but we are so happy to have him out here, and this is the second event. I think you're getting hooked. You'll have to come out for the Electric Fest.
I'm hooked.
He is hooked.
In fact, they have some planes out here for sale.
Yeah, he's been trying to unfold his wallet once or twice. Okay. Yeah.
That F-18's calling your name now.
I know, right?
Ooh.
Dave's got an F-18 for sale, and Barry keeps pushing me towards that one too. But yeah. I keep.
It actually does come with a turbine for that price.
Does it?
Because it's listed on Facebook Marketplace.
But I think he's a jet cat or something in there. I think.
Yeah.
And you're a sweet one.
I am a sweet one guy.
Nothing wrong with the jet cat.
No. I didn't say there was anything wrong. I just, Sweetwind's local. So, I mean, it's a lot easier for me to get it worked on. With the jet cat, you got to send it off. Same with the, you know, a couple of other turbines that I've used. I have, you know, a couple of other types. But it just, you know, it's expensive to insure that thing when it goes.
Yep.
It's an expensive piece of equipment just to drop in the mail.
And it takes time.
It does take time. So. And the Bad Boys RC guys are really good. They're on the west side of town. And if you need something, you can just call Roman, I guess. And Roman usually answers the phone, kind of gets it out there. Let's see, what else did we do today? The days kind of zipped by. Good food, yeah. They had the burger joint was here.
Yep, Yum Yum Rockets.
Yum Yum Rockets.
I encourage you to try them out if you ever see them at a food truck show or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure they do that. But
they got incredible burgers.
Trying to think what else. Yeah, there's just all the flying, just nonstop flying.
Yeah.
And just talking to people, you know, people come by and ask those questions and, you know, and talk about airplanes. That's what I love about this hobby.
And I
got my obligatory afternoon nap.
That's true. That was funny. I wasn't gonna tell anybody, but I'll have to show that picture when Jay does the edit. I'll send it to him. But I was helping who's the Stuka guy?
Kim.
Yeah, Kim has a little bit larger Stuka than what you brought. It's just slightly larger, maybe.
Size does matter.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Anyway, he took off yesterday, and it kind of rolled over on him, and it kind of busted the tail off. And so as a result, he got it fixed, and today he was going to remade it. So Scott was helping him yesterday, and he's like, "Oh, go talk to Mike," you know. So I kind of went there and helped him, but I came back from that, right? So we kind of helped him, got it around, trimmed up the whole thing, and we came back, and Shannon is taking his afternoon nap. So I was like, oh man, Shannon is comfortable, because he was, you know, these chairs are pretty comfortable, in case you were wondering. Amazon has them, but they're nice. And so I grabbed my phone and took a picture of me, and I was pointing at Shannon. I said, some people are really comfortable with this event.
the sound of airplanes flying and the clouds.
Oh, yeah. And the sun.
I'm home, you know. Just like you were saying, it's like home.
Yeah, it's like home.
Yeah.
I was watching Ali. I mean, he was flying nonstop. In fact, he travels with a thumb masseur, somebody that massages his thumbs because he's flying that much. Really interesting things about coming to this event is sometimes they bring unreleased product from Horizon.
Yeah.
And he was, can I say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was flying a Super Decathlon.
Yep.
That, what was the size, would you say?
It's just a little bigger than a UMX. I'd probably
say.
Yeah,
it's like an eighth scale.
Eight.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
They did. I think they pre-ordered those.
Did they?
Yeah, they're already online, so it's okay. But it's a small decathlon. I think Horizon has them out, and of course, this is the first time that we've seen it.
Yep.
Ali, they did not have it at the last two events that we were at.
Yeah, just came out.
It was
like
just coming out. They were releasing the pre-orders. But
and then I was teasing them about the mini Draco.
Yes, that just came out as well. The little Draco. So that's the UMX.
Right? That's the UMX. Mm-hmm. You can hang it from the mirror of your car.
Yes, you can. very tough.
It's very tiny, but very capable.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's a capable.
It was funny because I had when we did this gaggle for all of the E-Flight stuff. We went out there, and of course, Shannon had the F4. EDF, and I had the T-28 Trojan, and then John Gerhardt came out with that little Draco, and I said, hey, you want to hang that in, you want to put that inside mine and have it fly around, or you just actually going
to
fly
it? Tow it around.
Yeah, because it was so tiny, but it's so fast, and it just, it's crazy fun to watch. It was hard for me to fly and watch John fly the Draco at the same time.
Yeah. And he's flying it the wrong way.
Yes, and he's flying it the wrong way.
Like, okay, we got to make sure we don't.
Because he's like flying in this little circle because he can't. The wind is kind of howling if you can't hear it, and he didn't want to get too far away, so he's kind of flying really tight circles. And every time we'd come downwind, he'd be coming the other direction to try to catch us. So it was pretty funny. But
well, that brings up another thing with the weather. I'm used to at my field in Boulder, Colorado. Everybody's a fair weather flyer. Mm-hmm. Out here, people are flying in everything.
That's true.
They're flying in 20 knot crosswinds.
Yep.
With incredible aircraft.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those are, what do you say, 80,000?
There's a couple here that are up in that range.
Topping out.
That's some rarefied air.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I can't breathe up there.
We're not in that income bracket. Well,
no.
Shannon might be, but we're not. We're definitely not.
Far from it. I'm flying
E-flight. Yeah, the E-flight. The T-28 Trojans.
Yeah.
But you are correct that it's kind of one of those weird things in Arizona. You know, looking back, being a member of this club, and the amount of talent that actually exists here, we have several, you know, world champions that are here. And the weather changes, you know. Sometime it'll be, I mean, how many runway changes have we had just today? It's been at least four or five, you know.
At least.
And so the wind runs this way or that way, or sometimes it's 90 degrees and it's, you know, it's kind of gusty. And you just kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you came out to fly, you'd literally have about 30 minutes and then you'd never fly. You know, you only have that 30-minute window and then the wind starts kicking up and the heat and the bumps and everything else. So you kind of get used to it, and then eventually it just becomes second nature.
And then back again to me being new or being reintroduced to this, the gyros.
Yes.
Demon Cortex, AS3X.
Right.
I don't know how many of the listeners are familiar, but you explain a little bit about the stability and...
Yes. So the gyro itself counteracts the, you know, when you're flying, the wind kind of lifts a wing or you have that little stability issue where you're kind of, you know, have a crosswind. And the gyro actually compensates for that. So, you know, if you're not familiar with it, and most people, I think, in this part, or this far into it, I think they've been around long enough, most people actually kind of understand it. But it basically, the gyro tells the receiver to, it instructs the control forces to go in the opposite direction. So if the wind blew this wing up, it automatically corrects to a level flight.
Yeah, it's locked in and stabilized, so it wants to return to the wings level
attitude. Correct.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Or if you're in a maneuver, it'll keep it in that same
maneuver,
bank or whatever. It won't flip-flop back and forth.
Those adjustments are wide enough that you can say, okay, I want it to do a lot of it or I don't want it to do as much. And so, you know, it's called a stick priority, but if you go all the way up to the outside, then it releases the gyro of any responsibility and you're doing it all. And as you come back to the center, it relatches into the gyro. And matter of fact, they were having a big discussion up there about latching and they were playing with it, but the latching happens, you know, where the gyro grabs it again and says, oh, we want to return. So sometimes if the latching is too far or too broad, then it will grab the airplane and slam it back to the wings level, and it does this kind of this like this, you know, it tells one of those numbers. And so anyway, you've got to kind of play with it to make sure that when you roll, it's all linear and it happens kind of, you know, nice and smooth. But what I tell Jay most of the time is the Demon, and you flew it, but it makes the airplane feel heavier than it is or more. I mean, it's more stable,
right,
but it just
locked in.
Yeah, it feels more locked in. When you make that turn, it feels like it's turning. It's not kind of, you know, okay, I got, you know, moving the sticks around. So for me, the stick movement the stick movement is so minute compared to if it's not there.
Yeah.
Some guys use it as a crutch. I don't really use it as a crutch. I use it just to smooth out the stick movement. So I'm not.
It's a tool.
But it is a tool. And if you're familiar enough with it to use it, it's a very, very good tool. Most of the airplanes now are coming out with them. The new Spectrum receivers that we have all come with AS3X. The new Spectrum big channel, you know, like the 20 channel receivers are coming with the new Snaps.
Synapse.
Yeah. And then the Demon Cortex, of course.
And then most of the other brands, too, like FR Sky, they've got stabilized receivers. And again, it's just to help you smooth out your flight and make it a little more And if you're doing things like knife edges or, right, you know, or hovering, it'll help you to maintain those, because sometimes those are a little challenging.
They are.
So it's just a little help.
But. Yeah, that's true. Well, we've seen everything from small UMX to big quarter scale turbines out here. It's been a great time so far. We still have the remaining evening. Yesterday, the event last night got rained out, so we're doing it tonight. We're doing a dinner and an auction. So if Scott's lucky, maybe his wallet will part with some dough during the auction.
You said something that just triggered something. You said evening.
Yes.
I had never, ever, ever seen people flying at night.
Really?
And with all the LED lights, it was so amazing.
Yeah.
Very easy to see, understand orientation, and fly their airplanes. Yeah. So I'm hoping we get to do some of that tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Mike's been very generous with his T-28, Trojan, and let me run about 5 battery packs through it. So
it's a great airplane to fly, and it's
relaxing.
It is relaxing.
Yeah, it's relaxing.
It's not a nervous flyer. It's not a crier is what I call them. Those real expensive ones.
Yeah.
Those go in. I'm in the fetal position in the corner.
I'm done. Everything's up for sale. Yeah. Packed up. Ready to go. But
that's fun. Well, I can't tell you how much we have enjoyed having you on our podcast.
Yes,
it's been very, very good.
Out.
Thank you for coming out and spending the time with us. It's been a joy to have you out, and like I said, as this day wears on, I hope we get more flying in. I still have probably 10 more battery packs for you to run through that Trojan.
I love it. I love it, love it, love
and
it.
We'd probably be flying more of the Stuka if I didn't burn up the choke servo. That was kind of my fault. That's a story for a different time because we're out of time, but that was my mistake. But anyway, we are here at the Arizona Warbirds and Classics, and it's part of the 8th Air Force. If you have not already subscribed to our channel, if you got this far, please give us a thumbs up on YouTube, and we hope to see you again in 2 weeks. Well, look at that. All right. For Michael here in Arizona.
Shannon G, Mesa AZ.
Scott Berryman, a.k.a. Stickerus, Boulder, Colorado.
All right. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
You have been listening to the Park Flyer Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to your next visit. Please give our show a star rating and review, and feel free to email us your questions, topics, or suggestions to parkflyerpodcast@gmail.com.